Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you've all had a blessed week and your walk has been strong with God. I have some good news, some bad news, and some really, really good news. The first good news is that next week, Antonio Ayuya? Oh, okay. Close enough. Well, that Antonio guy, that's the first good news. Antonio will be here next week, and whenever he comes, he's always charismatic. And we know that he will bring us a good word, and so I'm looking forward to that. In that, he asked us if we would do a pre-sermon for him, and that's what I'm going to attempt to do. And we'll see how this goes. Usually I don't usually take sermon topics from somebody else. I just kind of let God lead me. And so this is one that I'm going to let God really lead me because this is totally different for me. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 7. And this is the bad news. Romans 7 is the bad news. We're going to start at verse 21. I could actually start a little earlier, but I decided to just start here. I find then that the principle of evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we do ask that question. Father, we apologize that we are wretched. Father, we cannot do this on our own. Father, I ask that you use whatever you have given me to speak, that it would speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. As I begin reading this, I thought, okay, how do I go about this? Because I don't want to come across as a judge. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm including myself in this, which was a debate at our elders' meeting, because I didn't think that I was wretched until I studied this. But as I began to look at this, I recognized that what I was thinking was a little flawed. I find the principle of evil is in me, the one who wants to do good. And as I thought about that, I was thinking about me. You know, I didn't put anybody else in my place. Let me think about Holger, because Holger's a wretched man, so I can really bust on him. But no, I couldn't. I really had to focus on Bill. And I recognize that every time that I want to do something well, I fail. I love the law, and it reminded me of David sitting on the rooftop writing psalm after psalm about how he just sat there and just glorified the commandments. David loved the commandments. He wrote psalm after psalm, and he was just so into praising God for the commandments. He just got so excited about the commandments. Now, I should say, not the commandments, the law. He was so excited about the law that he just was overwhelmed and wrote songs about it. Isn't that fascinating? When you think that, I mean, how many songs have you written, Brian, about the law of God? I mean, we don't do stuff like that. I mean, but David, he, you know, wow. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. You know, I was thinking about all of this, I was thinking, okay, Bill, I used everybody on this one, if we didn't have the law of God within us, what would our society look like? I mean, we have this moral code. Even non-believers believe in the moral code. But if we didn't have that law within us, I would hate to see what our society would look like. It would be devastating out there. I don't know if I'd ever leave my house. I mean, we're wicked as it is. Can you imagine if we didn't have the moral code living within us? But I see a different law in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the sin, law of sin, which is in my members. You know, ever since Adam and Eve, the fall of man, there's been a war going on. There's this gigantic war, this tension that's going on in ourselves that is saying, I want to do good. I want to do this. And yet, somehow we screw it up. Even if I do something good, I just prayed for those folks up there, isn't that nice? I just screwed it up. No matter what I do. I examine my own life. There is nothing that I've ever done in my life that has been successful. Nothing. I've screwed up my marriage. I've screwed up fatherhood. I've screwed up my jobs. I've screwed up my entire life because I believe in cowboy Christianity. I can do this on my own. And you can't. I mean, there's this constant war going on in me saying, Bill, you can do this. You can do this. And this is the bad news. I mean, this is tough. That all of us are in the same boat. I'm going to bring us all in now. We're all in the same boat. I want to do good. I want to do good. But I end up doing you know, it's not just the law. And then Jesus comes along and says, now, I'm going to add a little bit to this. If you even think about a bad thought about your neighbor, you've committed that sin. So now I'm really messed up. I'm not a murderer. But boy, if I want to punch someone in the face, I've just murdered. I mean, come on, God, you made it even more difficult for me. I can live by the law. But now he's thrown a new standard on top that even if I think about it, holy moly, I can't do this. I'm a slave to this sin that lives within me because of the fall of man. And I live in this thing called flesh. I want to do, you know, oh, and then, you know, I'm doing something good and all of a sudden a pretty girl walks down the street and I go, whoa, and I've committed a sin. There's nothing that I can do. I get on the right track. You know, I'm going to tithe every week. And I get a bigger check and I say, well, I only have to tithe this much. I'm a prisoner of the law of sin, which Paul says, that's in my members. I want to do things correctly and I can't. Paul writes this over and over and over again. He even tells us that he has a thorn in his side. Now, some Bible experts, and I believe this my entire walk, that it was maybe a physical problem. I've always believed that it was a sin. Because over and over again, Paul talks about how wretched he is. Now, there's something going on in Paul's life that he realizes that, hey, you know, I'm not a very good dude. So for me, it was that as when I first began to read Romans back in 1979, I really believed that, boy, I know what he's talking about. I think I have that one too, and probably 20 more. But we all have it. Paul goes on and says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Well, it's not me. It's not any of you. None of us can do it. As I began reading this, I remembered a talk that I did with all of you, and it was a while ago, and it was about King Jehoshaphat, and he was being attacked by three armies. Now, as I said, there was a war going on, and Jehoshaphat is preparing for a war. Well, I'm in the middle of a war every day. I don't have to worry about the three armies. They live within me. And now Jehoshaphat does some good things. He calls the people to prayer and fasting. Good thing. That's what we should be doing. We should be praying and fasting. But he cries out to God. We should be crying out to God. But how does God respond? He hears us, but what does he say? He said, "Do not fear. This is not your battle. This is my battle. I can't fight sin on my own. I can't live this life on my own. There is no way I can accomplish it. No matter what I do, no matter what I try to do, I'm going to fail. Any accomplishment that I've ever had in life does not belong to me. Scripture tells us there is no righteous, not one. I'm in that boat. I'm not righteous. I'm the wretched man. And it's tough to look, you know, because I'm a guy that looks in the mirror and says, you're a child of God. Every morning I look in the mirror and I remind myself that I'm a child of God. And the good news is that I am. Because, first of all, this is not my battle. Now, that doesn't give me the excuse. It doesn't give me the right to say, it's not my battle. I'm going to kick this guy while he's down. Because God's going to forgive me anyways, so I can kick him while he's down. You know, I can go into this house and say, I found a dollar. I'm doing this house over. And I took it off a wall and I found $1. I guess finders, keepers, losers, weepers. You know what I mean? I mean, they didn't know they had a dollar. Now, what's the right thing to do? Put it in your pocket. Yeah, I laid it out and the guy came in and says, what's that? And I said, it's yours. Well, what do you mean it's mine? Well, I found it tucked in behind a wall that I took down. Oh, I don't know if it's his or not. Maybe it was the other guy's, but it's not mine. But, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. I got to move around here. I promise I won't be as long-winded as I usually am. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And Paul answers, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the other hand, I myself with my mind in serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with the flesh of the law of sin. I've already answered it. I did say that it's through God. The only way that we overcome any of this is through the power of God. You know, no matter what I do, no matter what I've attempted, I have failed. There is nothing righteous within me, only the God's Spirit. Only God's Spirit. The other great thing, if you continue reading in chapter 8, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says this to us. He said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you walk with me, I won't leave you. If you eat of this bread, I will fill you with all of that. Jesus was tempted for an entire month. And we read that he was tempted with what? Power, money, fame, and food. Well, in 30 days, I think that he was tempted with everything under the sun. And I think they said, well, let's just group them into these three categories. So everything that I've been tempted with in my life, Jesus has already accomplished. He has overcome. So he's my example. He's the one that I can go to when I'm being tempted, when I want to punch somebody. I can go to Jesus and say, I need your help. It's that simple. Then why don't we do it? And I guess that's the depressing part for me, is that I know the answer, but I don't do it. It's hard for me to figure out sometimes, why am I such a blockhead? Because Jesus is, he lets us know, God has let us know that, guys, you can't do this. This is not your battle. Turn it over to me. I'm going to win this battle for you. Now, I don't know when the victory is happening. I'd like to see it a little sooner on some of this stuff. But I just believe that it's through the power of God. And I know that's what it is. That God has given us this wonderful escape from ourselves by serving him. Dying to ourselves daily. Picking up our cross and carrying it. And just instead of focusing on Bill, focus on God. I'm a guy that wears lots of things around his wrist. Maybe I ought to get one of those WWJD things. What would Jesus do? Maybe I should get tattoos all over my body to remind me. But that's the only way that I can do it is to constantly be in prayer. You know, Scripture again tells us to be in prayer continuously. So, you know, I've told my Sunday school students that I begin to pray in the morning and I never say amen until I go to sleep at night. Because I want that. Now, if I'm in a very specific prayer, I do. But my daily prayer is when I wake up in the morning, I pray. And I don't say amen until I'm ready to go to sleep. Because I want it to, and it's a mind trick for me. But it's just this whole idea that this is not our battle. And what do you all think about that? Do you think this is what I'm saying is true? That this is not my battle? Yes. Or should I really buckle down and take sin on? I used to be a tough guy. Used to be. You're around me now, I start crying at the drop of a hat. But this whole idea that you know, this whole battle, this tension that's going on in my body, this what's living within this flesh, I tell you, it's tiring. It's exhausting at times. And as I was studying this, I was thinking about King Jehoshaphat and saying, well, that's what does that have to do? This is three armies, but there's a war going on within us. God says, this isn't your battle. You can't accomplish this on your own. And so all of the glory does not go to Bill. It all goes to God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. No matter what I do, again, I've never accomplished anything on my own. It's all been for the glory of God. As I close, I want to close with this. And hopefully it makes sense. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand, to give everything over to you. Father, make us realize that this is not our battle, that you're here to defend us in every way, that you're here to lead us and to guide us. And when we do fall, you're there to pick us up, and you're there to discipline us. Father, we thank you and we love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.